When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Past Lives is over, but we're just getting started here on Post Show Recaps. Post Recaps Theater. My name is Grace. Of course, I'm not alone. I'm here with someone who I think I've met in many of my lives. It's Ariel. Ariel, how you doing?
Yeah, you can't leave out the theater part because we put on a show here. Post Show Recaps Theater. That is the only reason that is our name. No, I am so excited, genuinely, to be talking about this movie that we have yet to say. Let's just not say what the title of the movie is. I said
it's over, but we're just kidding. Every week, and also it's in the show title, and you know,
listen, some people just listen and they don't know, so let's not talk about the movie title and just see if people can guess. Yeah. No, but I'm very excited to talk about this.
Yeah, talking Past Lives, sorry I ruined the bit, which came out a little while ago. I think it was released in a limited release on June 2nd, so more than a month ago. Premiered at the Sundance Film Festival on January 21st. It has been doing well. It is still playing here in Canada. A few of the smaller theaters, like even some of the bigger theaters, are still playing it. I know some people hate this, but it's sort of the first movie that's getting Oscar buzz, and I feel like we can't look past the fact that Everything Ever All at Once came out in March of last year and then went on to win
the Academy Award. We can release movies at any point in the year and it doesn't matter. I mean, it never really matters, but to your point, it's always a thing of like momentum and timing and who are you in competition against. So it feels a little early, but it's only been out in like wide release. I think it came out finally like at the end of June, right? Like June 20 something, it platformed out. So, you know, we're late, but we're not too late. We couldn't miss the opportunity to talk about the first movie with Oscar buzz, putting aside the fact that we both loved it. that has nothing to do with why we wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bigger thing is that it's incredibly critically acclaimed. I mean, that's the reason it has this buzz. But mm-hmm. I feel like as I've been, as we're recording this, it's July 10th. It'll probably drop tomorrow on July 11th. And if you're listening to it around this time, my last week or so has been a lot of TikToks of people being like, these are the top movies so far, because it's halfway through the year as we finish June. And pretty much every list I saw not only had this on the list, but had it at number one. It's certainly my favorite movie of the year thus far, and I'm excited to get into it. But sort of before we do that, make sure to subscribe, pushrecaps.com/movies, to make sure you get all of our movie coverage. We are on the impetus, Ariel, of Barben. What are they calling it?
Barbenheimer.
Yeah, Barbenheimer Day.
This feels like it's the end of the world. Like, this is just like crazy simulation stuff. The way the Barbie and Oppenheimer machines are seemingly, it was the internet, right? It wasn't like either movie trying to make this happen. It was just the internet ran with this bit and has never stopped running. This is like a marathon that the internet is running.
I think it's that this doesn't happen these days. I mean, especially post, you know, 2020, the movie industry slowed down to a degree that there was no reason to do this, to put your movie on the same day that another movie is coming out. And for some reason with Barbie and Oppenheimer, they just decided I don't know who did it first, but they said July 21st, I'm going to do July 21st. And so our first real, like, you know, which are you going to see? But also, I think for people who love movies like you and I think there's lots of people who are like, well, yeah, I'm going to go watch both of those in the same day. There's people who don't even know that either of these movies are coming out. That is the whole, I was like talking to my mom about Barbie Oppenheimer. And she's like, what are like Barbie? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Barbie's the easy sell. And then to your point about like, who knows what? And so I just imagine Christopher Nolan being told, you know, because I imagine he's such a big name. He has a little bit of, he probably doesn't care, but let's pretend for a second he has some say in like when his movie comes out. He probably, they were like, well, the Barbie movie's coming out. And he's like, what's that? What's Barbie?
Yeah. My favorite one was, he actually played along, I think, because they did the sort of cross promotional where they were going to each other's movies. Tom Cruise showed up because, of course, lest we forget the Mission Impossible part one broke whatever. I don't know. I know the name of it. Comes
incredible,
out
incredible.
Next week. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning part one comes out next week. So Cruise is in on this
week.
But they're all buying. This week. Yeah. Sorry. As they're all buying movie tickets to each other's movies. Mm-hmm. And then Cillian Murphy was like, maybe. I don't know. I might go. I don't know if I'm going to go to Barbie.
I'm just glad. Yeah, that was a great Cillian Murphy quote. I'm just glad that Tom Cruise, speaking of, didn't see this movie, Past Lives, and was like, it's the best superhero movie of all time. Because that would have been, for me, a kind of death knell for this movie.
Yeah. So anyway, big summer, but I feel like Past Lives, well worth your while if you go see it. No spoilers, Ariel. Obviously, you've said you liked it, give the people the spoiler free pitch on why they should be seeing this movie.
Give the people what they want. I mean, first of all, people know, if you've listened at all, you know that I'm a little bit of a trailer whore, to use a bad word, but trailer whore. Yeah. This trailer came out, and because it had premiered, so there was no embargo on it for the critics, so it had premiered and like people wrote about it, so by the time the trailer came out, it already had all this incredible acclaim. Mm-hmm. From, not like horror movies do when it's like, oh, you know, Joe Blow or whatever, that was actually a real site, but whoever.com said that this was a great movie, and you're kind of like, well, that doesn't matter. But it was like incredibly respected publications saying ridiculously effusive things about this movie, and I was like, the trailer has slow music and the all that acclaim, and I was already in. It was one of my favorite trailers. I like to go to the bathroom during trailers that I've already seen, and this was a trailer that I needed to
see in the theater in protest. Like, I've seen this one.
I mean, Black Adam comes to mind. Like, this is the perfect trailer to go quickly to the bathroom and run right back. So I was already in, and the movie did not disappoint. You know, sometimes when the acclaim is that positive, it can kind of work against it a little bit as far as my personal expectations. And this movie did not disappoint. I was a mess watching it. It's so beautiful. I love that Greta Lee is having this moment to just, you know, in my mind, a really good comedic actress who had been in a lot of, you know, Amy Schumer show and a bunch of, you know, instances where she's showing off her comedic chops. And this is, for the most part, a drama, you know, does have a few comedic moments, but it's such a beautiful story about life and love. And, you know, some people are like, that's really not for me. And I really respect that. But this is, like you said, probably my favorite, not just one of my favorite movies of the year, but certainly my favorite time at the movies that I have had experience wise so far for the whole year.
Yeah, I was really worried because there had been so much hype about this movie that I went to go see it and was sort of trying to be like, okay, just relax. Like, people say it's amazing. And then the movie is just exactly what I like, which is it. I think I don't like it. It's not a comedy. I think it's it's fully a romantic drama, but just in the way that like Greta Lee is so great in a role and feels so lived in and is genuinely sort of just like funny and not in the way that like a comedy film is really trying to make you laugh. It's just the way that it's so infectious. I feel like she is and John Magaro. The cast is really small for this movie. I think probably you look at it, it's probably like 10-ish people that you ultimately see in the movie and really focus around these three people. John Magaro is very funny as well. Yeah, it just delivered everything I was hoping it would be in terms of just being dramatic and then excruciatingly like sad and painful, and I loved it. So yeah, let's spill the PSRT on past lives. So we sort of, when we first open the movie, we see Haesung, Nora, and Arthur, although we don't know any of these people's characters' names, and they're sitting at a bar and somebody is watching them, and we hear them trying to guess how these people know each other. Who are two of them siblings? What's the deal? Very interesting way to start the movie. We then flashback 24 years earlier, where Naeyoung and Haesung are classmates who walk each other home each day, as well as their parents set up a little date for them. But ultimately, Naeyoung's family is moving to Toronto, and so she's going to move away, and they sort of part at this corner of the street where they always diverge, and they go on these different paths, and it's metaphorically beautiful. And they say goodbye, and Naeyoung moves to Canada and chooses a new name, Nora. And so 12 years later, Haesung has finished his military service and Nora has moved to New York City. And Nora finds Haesung on Facebook and sends him a message. He, we learn, has been looking for her but cannot find her because he does not know her name. They reconnect and develop sort of this Skype long-distance friendship. I would say that certainly there are sparks of more, but they never really get into that. And they're both at a point in their lives where visiting each other is a bit impossible. And so Nora decides this isn't good for me because one of them either has to be like up late or up early, basically, to make this the time difference work. And she says, I think we need to stop talking for a while. She doesn't say how long that will be, but that's it.
And it's too hard. Oh, yeah. This broke my heart. It's too hard for her. And we see it's true for both of them, even though she's the only one that's willing to do something about it.
Yeah. So Nora goes on a writer's retreat. She meets this man named Arthur, and she describes the idea of Inyeon, which is a Korean philosophy where if you meet someone, even briefly, it means you've met them in a past life. Even like brushing shoulders means you've probably met in a past life. And people who meet each other over and over again, it must mean that at some point in life, they are lovers. Mm-hmm. And I love this. Arthur says, do you believe in it? She says, no, just something Koreans say to seduce each other. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, in China, Haesung meets a woman and they begin dating. We then cut forward another 12 years. So they are now 36. Arthur and Nora are married. Haesung decides that he's going to visit New York and he asks to meet Nora, and she agrees and hangs out with them. And they chat about their lives. And she asks if she's going to marry his girlfriend. And he says, no, we're on a break. He's basically says he's too ordinary for her. He does not make enough money. Nora goes home that night and talks to Arthur. And basically, they kind of agree that Haesung definitely came to see Nora. This is not like, I'm just taking any vacation. And oh, wouldn't it be nice if Nora was there? This is absolutely like, I'm going to New York. A, because I could go on vacation, but mostly because I'll see Nora and maybe I'll find out the answers to what could have been. Arthur asks, am I in the way of your love story, your epic love story about childhood sweethearts who come back? And she says, no, I love you. I love our life together. You know, this is the path that we've taken. All three of them go to dinner. And while they're sitting at the bar, which we've seen at the beginning of the movie, Nora is translating for a bit, but eventually sort of the conversation sort of evolves where it's just her and Haesung speaking in Korean back and forth. And he brings up the idea of Inyeon and wonders who they were in their past lives and what would have happened if she never left Korea. They kind of don't really ever, you know, commit to anything or whatever, but Nora eventually goes to the bathroom. Haesung apologizes to Arthur and says they won't talk in Korean alone together anymore. They leave the bar and go back to Arthur and Nora's apartment, and Haesung decides to order an Uber, invites them to come to Korea at any time. And they walk, and this is, I think, just the best part of the movie. They walk to the left. They sort of walk along this New York street, and eventually they stop at a place, and they They're waiting for this Uber to come, and they're just staring at each other. And there's this tension. And eventually the Uber just comes, and Haesung goes to get in it, and he turns around and he says to Nora, like, what if this is just a past life of a future life where we are lovers?
This is incredible.
That could be true.
Yeah.
And she says, I don't know. And he says, I don't know either. So he gets in the car and he leaves the car. The Uber moves to the left, AKA like they kind of like walk into the past together. He continues on like kind of into the past. And then she returns back to the right. She walks back to her apartment where she breaks down and cries with Arthur. And then we see Haesung. His car is now moving to the right into his own future as he kind of looks at the Uber as they're driving home. And that's the end of Past Lives.
It's almost like an oversimplification of the movie, because so many of the moments, like the one you're describing at the very end, it's just so much more of what isn't being said and what right. is being translated between the characters, for the most part, between these two characters non-verbally, and all the emotion that we see them convey. It's like it's incredible, honestly, to watch. And I've seen it twice now, and it's no less. Like, in my first life, I watched it and I was like, this is incredible. In my second life, I watched it and I was like, this mm-hmm. is just as incredible. I didn't cry quite as hard because I knew, yeah. you know, you kind of know what you're getting into, but it was no less emotionally effective the second time.
It's really this masterclass in A, like, it wasn't really until I was sitting and thinking about it more, this idea of like, Haesung and Nora moving to the left and into the past and going back, you know, as they're walking that way. And then they sit, and again, you're totally right. It's what's not being said. There's so much tension in them just staring at each other, because this is the moment in a rom-com where they're the ones who are meant for each other. And Nora, you know, her life with Arthur is actually like, he's much more of a bad guy or douchebag or whatever, and they're not right for each other. And so these two would like kiss and figure it out and whatever. And mm-hmm. it's just not that. It's so grounded in the reality of all of their situations that it's like yeah. a bit awkward and uncomfortable that he has come back. I love there's a scene where it's after the first day that they've spent together, where they go and see the Statue of Liberty. Mm-hmm. And she had realized she had never been there before, but she's just talking about how the day was. Mm-hmm. And she's like, he's like super Korean. Like,
he's,
you know,
so just, Korean.
He's the Korean, you know?
he's and it's really just, handsome in a way that's very Korean. Yeah.
And it's just this conversation that they're happening, that is happening between them, that I kind of like, the real answer, like, does she feel something for Haesung? Like, the answer is obviously yes. By the time she comes mm-hmm. back to Arthur and sort of breaks down and cries in his arms, like, yeah, she obviously like feels something, but it's not enough for there to be a, I am going to leave Arthur mm-hmm. and also like her life. There's a lot of, I don't think I mentioned this, but she's a playwright in New York City. And so, and Arthur is an author. And there's just like not, she doesn't want it. She wouldn't want to move back to Korea. There's a whole thing where she, I guess we left this. She does go visit, right? I completely left this whole part out where she goes. Am I imagining this right?
She talks about that she went to Korea. There's a scene where her and Haesung are talking, and she talks about how she went to Korea with her husband and she tried emailing him, right. but he never responded.
Right.
So they never, it was like another like ships in the night situation with these two people.
Right. Yeah. I just the realness of it, that there can be so much emotion baked into to the experiences they're having. And really it's like, they're kind of all having nostalgia. Well, at least the two of them, Nora and Haesung, are having nostalgia for what their relationship could have been. Yeah. And I sort of ultimately love this idea that like Haesung leaves, and she's kind of sad about like, yeah, it could be, but like, I'm not going to give up everything to, you know, and when they're having those conversations over Skype of like him being like, well, could you come visit? And she's like, no, I'm going to this like writer's retreat, you know?
Yeah. Which is where she met her husband.
Right. I just think it's like, it's so crushingly beautiful. I think it's just the way that scene where they sit and stare at each other and ultimately like, he just leaves and she leaves. And she's like, what if it's not? He's like, what if it's not this life? What if it's another life? He's like, I don't know if that's true, but okay. I don't know.
But we can secretly hope. Yeah. I love all of that. And I love the way I think crushingly beautiful, to use your words, is absolutely the most appropriate way of describing the whole thing. And I think a couple of things. First of all, like you're going into the movie, and my big worry about this movie, besides the whole, will it live up to all these incredible, lofty, you know, expectations that all these critics have kind of cast on it for me, was from the outside, even before watching it, what is the ultimate outcome here, right? Because from the trailer, you can tell she has this connection with Haesung, and then it seems like she's involved with this other guy. And they even used it in the trailer, the piece where her husband is like, well, isn't this an interesting story? Like in a certain version of reality,
right.
I am the like evil white man keeping you guys apart, and you both should be together. You all are meant to be together, and shouldn't I get out of the way? So like we've seen this kind of situation before, where you know a character is with someone, and then they're having second thoughts, and like kind of. Like you said, the nostalgia is getting to them and they can't decide if they should blow up their lives basically in order to be with this person. And really from the outside, the two possible outcomes are either one, she stays with her husband, or two, she leaves her husband to go with Haesung. And it's like, how do you make, while I'm watching the movie, I'm like, how can you make either of those the outcome, but then also have it feel satisfying? Because from you, at the end of the day, you're probably going to disappoint some people. And for the answer to be that, yes, she chooses to abandon that idea of her life that could have been and fully commit. To me, that's what it was, right? Like when she breaks into tears at the very end, she's mourning once and for all. Finally, she's letting all that emotion out. She's mourning this life that she cannot have with Haesung. And like, it's such a great subversion in a way of that expectation, because you think you're not going to be, or at least I did. I didn't think I was going to be satisfied with that choice. And then they make it work. And it's like, it's one of the many small miracles of the movie that it feels emotionally satisfying.
Yeah. I think that for me too, the piece of her deciding once and for all that she's not going to be with Haesung, she's going to continue her life in America. I agree with that. I also think it's sort of the first time she really acknowledges fully that like that was a thing that maybe she even wanted to do. I feel like there's certainly hints that and maybe, you know, if you got her in like a confessional, like if we're like in a documentary, she'd be like, yeah, of course I'm thinking about it, but like I'm not gonna tell Arthur that. And maybe even to herself, she doesn't even fully want to say it. That's something she'd even consider. And so I like the moment where she breaks down as well, when she walks back to what her life is now, is an acknowledgement of like, this is the path I'm going on. And she is mourning the thing, but also kind of like, it's an acknowledgement too, that like, that is something that maybe, you know, it is a choice. Like, I feel like sometimes movies, the ending, we want it to feel so clear that like, this was the right choice and this was the wrong choice. And sometimes even that like, characters who end up making the wrong choice, like we know it's the wrong choice too. And I feel like this is so great. It's in such a gray area, I think, in this, the ending, the choice about whether she should go back to Arthur or whether she should run off with Haesung.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't really matter if it's the right or wrong choice. It's the right choice for Nora because she chooses to make it. And that's the one she is going to like live with now, yeah. I guess is the point. And so it's not like, objectively, that's not the right choice, because either of them could be the right choice. Like clearly there's a connection between her and Haesung when they like are ignoring Arthur as they're like chatting at the bar, you know, like there's chemistry with Haesung.
Yeah.
But then there's also the idea that like what she has with Arthur, like I also love this idea that, and I like the idea that her, because I saw some stuff about Arthur that's like, he's such a schmuck. Why does he let them go for, like, why do they go for dinner? Like, shouldn't he just be like putting his foot down? And I don't know. It doesn't really matter to me. I kind of love just the idea that he is not like the most handsome man we've ever seen. He literally doesn't stop playing PlayStation when she comes home. Like, I think there's ways in which, like, I don't know. I see this with like my friends who are in relationships, that it is not like Hollywood romantic. It is just regular, real romantic. Like this is how relationships actually like look and feel.
Mm-hmm.
And this like this conversation about like, am I stepping in the way? Because he's an author too. Like, am I stepping in the way? Am I blocking the childhood sweethearts from getting married and living their beautiful life together?
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't think you get to make that. Like, he's like, you don't get to make that decision for me. Like, don't I get a say in like what the choices that I made to get to the point I am in my life? And like, I can be okay with like this being the relationship I'm in because like, I just love you. I love that so much in a way that like, it's just, it's not Hollywood. It just feels like gritty. Like, I don't know.
It feels just real. Like you said. And I love it for all those reasons as well. And, you know, shout out to John Magaro, who plays Arthur. He is an author.
It took the slip to
make that connection. But Arthur, the author, this is for me the ultimate, like I already used the word like small miracle. This to me is the big miracle of the movie. Because again, when you expect a certain kind of story from this story, right? The almost like a sliding doors type story where she imagines what her life could have been like versus what it is now. The John Magaro character, Arthur, could be such a schmuck and could be, or, you know, some other version of bad where he's not respectful of her, because that's all I see. When I see him giving them space, that is a respect for her life, right? Like her loving her enough to allow sounds weird because like he has power over her, but just in the sense of like you're equals in a relationship, right? Like allowing the other person to feel other feelings and be exactly who they are, no matter how it makes you feel. And that's for his character to be not just effective, emotionally effective, but to feel as very much he doesn't feel like the third wheel, even though he himself feels himself as the third wheel when they're all on that little date. He does not at all, to me, feel like any kind of third wheel to the story. He feels fundamental and pivotal to the outcome of it. And it's, I wasn't expecting that at all. Like, as much as I love Greta Lee and Tae Yoo, who plays Hae Sung, who are both incredibly talented actors and they get to use so much of their acting toolbox in this movie, again throughout even just their like non-verbal communications and moments of silence, this is potentially a thankless role, the Arthur character. And for him to have, like you said, there's the scene at the end where he, and this is what breaks me, it's not just that Nora sees him and cannot hide the sobs, right? It's not just that she's crying. She's like fully falling into Arthur's arms. And for him to just take her and allow, not ask her why she's upset, not get upset that she's upset, just allow her to be as messy as she needs to be in that moment is, I think, such a wonderful sign and barometer to the kind of person he is in the relationship.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on. It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper?
a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
The scene that you mentioned also there, and then I'll get to the third scene, which will bring us back. The scene where Arthur and Haesung are talking when Nora goes to the bathroom, mm-hmm. and Arthur says to Haesung, like, you did the right thing. Like, not only do I respect your space with Nora and like your life with her, but you made the right choice coming here and seeking her out. And like, now that he's met him, he can say that. And like, I can't think of another situation where a character would say that and mm-hmm. actually mean it. And it's mm-hmm. just, it's such a short moment, because it doesn't feel small, but it is giving you so much. And the character is like, again, the Arthur character is in front of your very eyes, making the case for why he is not just Nora's husband really, but like an important character in this movie. And the final Arthur scene is, or the one that I like keep going back to in my head, is when he is in bed. You already mentioned the scene when Arthur's in bed with Nora, and he says, you know, they're talking about Korean, because a really funny part Arthur is like learning Korean. Just right. This is before even Haesung is involved. Arthur is just trying to communicate with Nora's family more and understand her culture more. So he's been learning Korean, and he lets Nora know for the first time that she dreams in Korean, that she speaks in her sleep speaking Korean. And he says, it's such an incredibly beautiful moment to me. He says, you dream in a language I don't understand. And and that scares me, because there's a part of you that's closed off from me. And like, I just got chills talking about it, because that's so beautiful and human. And like, also just shows how much he loves her. Like,
she gets mad, right? And he's like, why would I tell you? Why would I tell you?
He says, how come you? Yeah. She's like, how come you never told me that before? This is the first I'm hearing about it. And we've been married all this time. And he's like, I just, you know, to the point that he says in that same conversation, like, I it scares me. It makes sense emotionally, at least, if not logically, why he wouldn't share that with her.
Yeah.
And he says in that same conversation, you make my life so much bigger. And he's afraid that that he doesn't do the same for her.
Right.
And that's so lovely. It's like an incredible moment for them to share. And you just get a sense again of how much he loves her, that he's like scared by the very thing, by one of the things that makes him love her more. It's like, it's incredible, really.
No, I completely agree. I really love the Arthur character, and he's sort of a surprise, because he, you know, you do, again, just the classic idea of like the other guy who shows up sort of like, you know, a little bit before halfway of the movie, probably, right? Like a little bit before that second time jump.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just think he comes in so fully developed. And what I like, I've heard this argument about like, he should be trying to win Greta more, but he ultimately kind of like wins. I don't know if it's winning, but what I think, like the thing that I love the most is that while like the last thing we see of them is her crying and basically, as we've said, like mourning this relationship that she could have had that she's now not going to have with Haesung. But I think so much of what Arthur does in the movie and the way he acts, I think actually, I don't know, I'm not some relationship expert, but it feels to me like such a healthy way to approach his relationship with Nora, because I think that ultimately if she chooses to stay with him, you know, in another movie, there's the way where he's like blocking them from being able to see each other and they never really figure it out. And it always remains a what if, like, should I have been with Haesung? And because it's not, because, and again, I think you're right that like, it's not allows or lets, but he does not actively stop her from pursuing, investigating what her life with Haesung would be like. And ultimately she ends up choosing to be with Arthur. And to me, that is really, you know, powerful. And I imagine really good for their relationship, in the sense that, isn't it, you know, if ultimately, if she and Hae-sung hang out and meet, and she's like, oh my God, I'm meant to be with Hae-sung. I'm going to leave. Like, obviously their relationship would not be worth keeping. Like, why would you want to be with somebody who wants to be with somebody else, you know? So the fact that he sort of, you know, and again, yeah, I don't know how to word this without making it sound like he gets to choose, but like allowing her to figure it out. So ultimately, if she comes back, it means that their relationship in her mind is more important. It's valuable. It's meaningful for her to be with Arthur. And I do love, like, I love how he's saying, you make my life bigger. I think it's so, that's so like romantically beautiful. I love it so much. Yeah. I also like that she's kind of like, I kind of love this mundane life we kind of have, you know, that you know, when they're lying, you know, she's like, I don't, this is where I've ended up and I'm really happy just being with you. And I don't need it to be like romantically over the, like, I'm really like leaning into, like, I'm putting words in Nora's mouth here, but like, I feel like what she's saying is like, she doesn't need it to be this grand romantic sweeping gesture. Like, I'm sure there's times when it's like their anniversary that they like, they do that. They could get dressed up and go for dinner, but like on the day to day, him just like being there and loving her and supporting her is like all she needs, right? All to be able needs. To do what she wants to do. And that's the foundation for, you know, a loving relationship. I look at, like, you know, my brother and his wife, and it's like, yeah, it's not always like, you know, oh my God, you know, it's sometimes it's just like the little things that like they'll do for each other that is like the signifier that their relationship is really working and really meaningful and to whatever.
So, them, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that is the and you already went into this a little bit, but she says in that moment, she's like, this is, it's my choice. Like, in that moment, it does feel to her like she's taking away, or excuse me, it does feel to her like Arthur is taking away some of her agency when he's like, I worry that I'm not enough for you, basically. And she's like, in a very matter of fact way, that is, that feels a little flat in her wording, but is not unkind when she says, this is the, yes, this is where I ended up, but this is the life that I chose.
Right.
And to me, her breaking down at the end is the cost of all of the choices that she has made. Like, yes, she stands by her choices and she has reaffirmed them now, but it is no less difficult to deal with the emotional fallout of all of that.
Yeah. I think the other thing about this movie that that just makes it work is that it would be so easy. I think mostly from Arthur and then also Hae-sung, for either of them to just feel like you would hate them. There's a way in which you could walk out of this movie. I think it's almost like a miracle that I basically like all three of these people in this movie in a movie that's a love triangle, because I think that there's a way that Hae-sung could be written where he's a total creep for coming to New York and like busting up.
Why did you even come here?
Yeah, right. You know, it's revealed that like he's not with his girlfriend. He kind of, you know, that implies to me that like the last time he spoke with Nora, it was under the assumption that like he was dating someone. And then when he gets to New York, it's like, well, I'm not dating anybody, right? And that's what kind of, I think, clues her in to be like, oh, he's definitely here to like scope me out, to like see for him and her, I think, to be like, is there anything here? Arthur, I think it would be very easy for him to be like the schmuck boyfriend who sucks and we don't want that. And yet somehow you walk away from this movie being like, ah, you know, I don't know. It's not like I mean, I love Greta Lee. So like, I love Nora. I want to be best friends with Nora. Everyone, the other two, I'm like, yeah, I don't know if we'd like hit it off.
Would she cut me off and not talk to me for 20 years?
I mean, very relatable, I have to say. Not talking for 12 years to someone. But I like, you know, I'm like, oh, what interesting people that I saw in a movie, you know, that I don't hate. I don't hate them. It's just like, it's so fascinating.
Yeah, it's again, it's just like a miracle. Like all these people, you're like, wow, I like all these people. And there's not some like cartoonish, you know, villain in a sense. Like the only villain you could point to in my mind is like time and choice, and like how final choices can feel and be and real, as we keep saying, when they're up against like these very real realities. And it's not, even though this is very much a movie, it doesn't feel like a movie. Like you keep saying, it feels very much like real life, and it's incredible. I mean, we've gone all this time without mentioning Celine Song, who wrote and directed the movie, and it's her first full length feature.
And she wrote this while writing the wheel, while staff writing on the Wheel of Time, which is wild to me.
See, she's, and that makes sense in a sense, right? Like that's, I mean, I'm not very familiar with the Wheel of Time. I think you're way more familiar with it, but it just, as far as like time and choices and, you know, there's a little bit with all the stuff with the In Young and like past lives and are we meant to be together? And do we have enough In Young between us to like, to really end up together or belong together? There is a little bit of a metaphysical, you know, aspect to it that I think they are respectful of as far as the culture, but obviously also using in a way that feels real to everyone involved. And I love the, you know, I'm thinking now of the moment where Arthur's talking to Haesung again and Haesung says, you and I have In Young, like the fact that we're sitting here, even in this weird situation where I have just apologized to you about talking to your wife in Korean, like even we have a connection clearly in our past lives that like brought us to this moment. And that's beautiful. Like what this movie has to say about not just romantic connections, but connections in our lives that we have that mean something to us. And if there is some like fate component to it, it's so beautiful and rewarding and makes life, you know, the way that Arthur says, like, you make my life so much richer. I feel like this movie makes life the way one thinks about their own life so much richer. And that's obviously beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think it's like the way that it's, you can imagine yourself being in any one of these people's shoes and thinking like, what would I do? And knowing that kind of like any of the decisions you make are absolutely heartbreaking for someone in this moment, whether, you know, you get, you know, you and Haesung and Nora decide not to be together, you know, that's devastating for both of them. And then being, you know, if she did go up with Haesung, how devastating for both Arthur, but also a little bit Nora too, in that sense of like what she would be losing if she did it. So it's like there's no right answer to this thing. So you just make a decision and have to sort of like live with that decision. Yeah, Celine Song, I thought, is this her directorial debut?
Incredible.
It's wild. Incredible. Yeah, it's so good. I just can't speak highly enough about the ending and how, like, when you're watching, the fact that you're like, because, you know, I did think it was silly. Like, it's not exactly how Uber, like, it's so weird that he orders the Uber like, way up the road. But then when you're like watching it afterwards, like when I'm thinking about it afterwards, and it's like they're moving into the past. They're like deciding, you know, they're moving into the past. And then he ultimately, like, and she has said that, like, this is all intentional. They decide, no, okay, we're not going to be together. He gets in the car. He moves further into the past. Like, he disappears from her life. She then walks back to the present where she's with Arthur, where then now she stays. And then the next time we see Haesung, he's also driving into he's like in his own present, right?
Yeah.
Like, that level, that with the In Young thing is so, for me, like, I love the way that that is used.
Yeah.
In this movie, in the sense that the first time we hear it, she's telling this like thing, and then he's like, do you believe it? Like, no, that's just what Koreans say to seduce each other. And she completely brushes it off. But it obviously, like, whether or not it's because she believes it or not, doesn't really matter. But it's the emotional weight of the way he invokes it that, and I've had that too, right? Where it's like, yeah, I don't necessarily believe in fate or karma or whatever. But then when it like happens and it's like storybook perfect, you're like, fate, you know, like, but it's not like I actually, it's not like I'm always 100% of the time being like, fate will make this work out, you know. It's just, you're like, oh, so interesting that's the way it's, and I just love the way it's invoked in this movie. Those two things, the like moving into the past, the metaphor or the simile or whatever, these like things that she like implants into the movie that gives it like this cultural richness is just so good. It's so good.
It's wonderful. And you know, so many little shots I can remember, such like depth and the emotion of the shots, sometimes just like, you know, the wake of the boat that they're on, the ship that they're on, you know, it's a shot of the water. It's the emotion of the shots is rising to the level of the emotion of the characters. And that is not an easy thing to do. Not that I would know, but I imagine it is a very difficult thing to do, especially your first movie. Like, I think I was so struck by the divert, like you mentioned the shot a little bit already, but like early on when they're kids and she's going,
she's going like up the stairs.
It's when they say goodbye, she's going up the stairs on the right hand side and he's going to the left. And what I thought was interesting was like, she's going up, like she's going physically upwards via stairs and he is going physically upwards via a ramp. So like the idea of like, they're going to meet each other eventually because she's going up and he's going up just at like at a different speed or different level, if you will. It's such an incredible shot because it lingers, right? She gives, Celine Song gives it the emotional weight of watching these two kids just walk away from each other for like many, many seconds. And it's just, it's incredible. And I know I keep saying that, but like, I can't say enough about how much this movie made me feel. It's beautiful.
That stuff too. It's just completely like art and directing and whatever. Yeah. And like, I know she talks a lot about like having to try and find that street, and it's her, the person who finds the set, who ultimately had to like find this perfect, like the New York City. It couldn't be too bright. It couldn't be like just like trying to find that like atmosphere of like the gritty late night street that you walk down, like trying to find that. And I'm sure that the street where it like diverts off into two, you know, into two separate things that they're going to go on in their lives is like brilliant, but like, yeah, so fascinating. So there's just so much to this movie that I love. It's by far and away for me the best movie of the year so far. There's a lot of good stuff that's potentially coming, but it's going to take a lot for this little indie drama to get beat. I think, to
bust this out of
the first position.
Yeah, yeah. Like fully on an island by itself in a good way.
In the poster, they're holding on to a pole, the subway pole. So pole.
Yes,
position.
And it's like their hands, even in that scene, like the way their hands are like close to each other. And you know that perhaps one of them or both of them want to move their hand, but they don't. Right. Like, again, it's these choices that they are actively making, that they both made in her case and are continuing to make now. And again, this ending, we keep going back to it, but it's so simple on paper, but it has so much to it. Like you said, like he's moving to the left and then she ultimately recedes back to the right. It seems like it's all just shot. It's like one shot, right? Like the camera sits there, then it moves left.
I believe it is all one shot.
And then it does cut away to the two of them. But once he leaves, it cuts back to her. Yeah. And the way that, like we spoke just now about like that diverting path of when they were children, when he is about to get in the cab, he calls out to her. And she has said previously in the movie that like not even her mom calls her by her Korean name anymore. So like, again, doubling down on the idea of he knew her. He is speaking to the little girl inside her, right? And when she turns around, you actually see the small child turn around. So he is speaking in that moment like directly to the young Nora. And it's the way that is like so simply telegraphed to you makes so much sense, because she is basically established that you're one of the only people now besides my parents that like knew me when I was a child and knows like this fundamental part of me. So for him to basically say goodbye to that child is so incredibly satisfying and feels so right. And then when she again recedes back and the camera stays in the street and it goes backwards, it's like we could sit here probably for like another hour and like analyze every single shot and give it meaning, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think though that's our coverage
but we're not going to oh that's yeah. what your tone says
yeah
yeah You're making,
I mean, it's amazing
for
yeah I am yeah that's it yeah Yeah, so next week is Mission Impossible week. I'm sure we'll have coverage of
we
of
might. That. We might. I don't know. I'm going to make a gamble that we will.
There's a lot of stuff that's been you want to watch Joyride?
I did. Yeah, I saw Joyride. I thought that it was very much it's like in the same way that Past Lives turned out to be the same movie that it is in the trailer, that it establishes itself to be in the trailer. Joyride is very much the same. If you watch that trailer, it's a very fun, a little bit all over the place, certainly messy in ways both real and visceral and narratively, but I think it was a fun time at the movies.
Okay, well, yeah, I'll have to see if I can check it out. Yeah, and then it's the big one in a few weeks. So, Errol, in the meantime, what else are you talking about? Where can people find you?
People can find me on YouTube watching the Past Lives trailer again and again and again. I would encourage people, if they're like curious at all about the movie after hearing all this and having it spoiled. The good news is this isn't the kind of movie that you can really spoil.
As I agree.
I'm saying it's about like living in these moments and watching them happen. I would encourage people to check out the trailer if they're a little undecided. I am on Twitter, I guess, for now, right? At That Other Ariel, as we all are, as we wait to see what's going to happen with that. Mm-hmm. I'm covering, what else am I covering? Covering Dark with you and Philly, one of our favorite Netflix shows. And that's coming to an end, which is sad. And firing up some new series coverage of The After Party with you and Jess. So that's going to it's going to be like in a couple of days. I think it premieres this week.
I think, yeah, by the time if you're listening to this on the day it drops, probably the same day you'll get some After Party.
That timing.
Your feed. Yeah. I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace. You did a lot of my plugs. So I will plug. I'm covering, we did a preview pod, should be up by the time this is out, for What We Do in the Shadows. We'll be doing a mid-season check-in and a post-season check-in on that, one of my favorite comedies out there. And over on Rob as a Podcast, make sure you check out The Pride Is Spoken, even though it's July. You still listen to gay podcasts if you want. I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace. I'm also on Blue Sky and I'm on Threads. I think I'm either Hi From Grace or Go For Grace on any of them. So check that out. And we will be back next week with a new Tom Cruise movie. So we'll see you then. Until then, I'm Grace. That's Ariel. And we are Puerto Rican Sweden.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.